There's a knock on the door. I hit the boss key, flip the keyboard upside down, and stand up just as the door begins to open. It's one of the stewards from upstairs, not a black beret. "Yes?" I demand, slightly breathless. He holds out a silver tray, half covered by a crisp white linen cloth. My trio sits in the middle of it, pristine and untouched.
"This is for you,"
he says dully. I look at his face and shudder as I reach for the phone. He's not himself, that's for sure. Green lights in the back of the eye sockets and a distinct lack of breathing are usually indicators that you're looking at a nameless horror from outside space-time, rather than something really sinister like, say, a marketing executive. But you still wouldn't want to invite one back to your cabin for a drink and after-dinner conversation. I take the phone and hit the power button. "Thanks," I say. "You can go now." The dead man turns and leaves the room. I close the door and hit the button to fire up the phone's radio stage. Not much chance of getting a signal this far from land, but you never know. And in the meantime, well, if I can get back in touch with control somehow and tell them not to send Mo in after me, that would be a good thing. I find I'm shaking. This new Mo, fresh from some kind of special forces class at Dunwich, spilling blood with casually ruthless abandon and working as an assault thaumaturgist with Ellen's headbangers, scares me. I've lived with her for years, and I know how hard she can be when it's time to rake a folk festival organizer over the coals, but that new violin she's carrying gives me the willies. It's as if it comes with a mean streak, a nasty dose of ruthlessness that's crawled into the tough-minded but intermittently tender woman I love and poisoned her somehow. And she's heading for the Explorer now to secure the field generator, release the hostages, neutralize the Thonian artifact, sink the Explorer. I stop in mid-thought. "Huh?" I mumble to myself. "Secure the field generator?" That was the Gesh field she and Alan were discussing. The probability-warping curse that dragged me kicking and screaming into this stupid role-play thing. The very invocation I'm supposed to be destroying. She thinks it's aboard the Explorer. And Angleton wants her to keep it running? I stare at my phone. There's no base station signal, but I've still got a chunk of battery charge. "Does not compute," I say, and stub my thumb on the numeric keypad. I'm frustrated, I admit it. Nobody tells me anything. They just want to use me as a communications link, keep me in the dark and feed me shit, pose around in evening drag at a casino and drink disgusting cocktails. I go back to the desk, flip the keyboard right side up and hit the boss key again. Mo's sitting in the cockpit of the cigarette boat, fastening her 5-point safety harness. A pair of sailors is installing a kit bag full of ominous black gadgets in the seat next to her. Over the windscreen, I can see the grey flank of a Royal Navy destroyer, bristling with radomes and structures that could be anything from missile batteries to gun turrets or paint lockers to my uneducated eye. The horizon is clear in all directions, but for the ruler straight line of an airplane's contrail crawling across the sky. I glance sidelong at the phone, longingly. If I could call her up, I could tell her. If only I wasn't stuck on board this goddamn yacht, moping like the token love interest in a bad thriller, while the shit is going to hit the fan in about 2 hours aboard the Explorer, which is sitting less than half a kilometre away. "What the fuck has gotten into me?" I ask, wondering why I'm not angry. This bovine passivity just isn't me. Why does it feel like my best option is to just sit here and wait for Mo to arrive? Damn it, I need to get things moving. McMurray can't afford to lose me before Ramona's delivered her surprise party trick to Billington. That gives me a lever I can pull on. And Angleton wants the Gesh field generator kept running. That's my cue. The penny drops. If the Gesh field actually works, and Billington can't shut it down, then he's going to be in a world of hurt. Could that be Angleton's plan? It's so simple, it's fiendish. Almost without thinking, I dial 666. It's time to call my ride and get moving. After all, even the good Bond babe, token love interest and all, doesn't always spend the final minutes of the movie waiting for her absent love to come rescue her. It's time to kick ass and set off explosions.
This ends Disc 9.